All right, starting in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's stop there for a second. We just read in Romans chapter 7 where the Spirit is in bondage to the flesh by the law. And he cries out. He cries out, that Spirit in us, when we see that the law is good and holy, and we try to fulfill the law and fail at it, we see that we're in bondage to the flesh and its desires, which run contrary to the good things of the law. And we see how wretched we are in that. Paul said, I see another, in verse 23 of chapter 7, I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members, in my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? See, the Spirit doesn't need to be destroyed. It needs to be rescued from that which is corrupt. It needs to be rescued from that soul of Adam, that corrupt nature. It needs to be rescued from that body that's passing away and its corrupt desires. First, the Spirit is redeemed. And this shows it. And he goes on to say, who will deliver me from the wretched man that I am? Who will rescue me from this body of death? The Spirit released from having to obey the body in its lust. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he goes on to say, though, so then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. In other words, in my spirit I want to serve God, but under the law I find that I am a slave to law of sin and death. That I have to serve sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a person who is not under the law, because Jesus paid the law for them. He has purchased them out from under the law. This is a person who considers himself through faith to have died with Christ, and therefore to live with him to the power of a new life, a life that isn't under that law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He kept it perfectly according to his walk with God. And this gave him the right by the law. The law judged him to be that perfect sacrifice. And so this gave him the right to lay down his life in our place to what the law demanded, our death. So there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All under the law are condemned. You are not condemned if you're in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Now, what was the law powerless to do? The law was powerless to save you. It tells us earlier in chapter 7, and remember, this is all in context with each other. It tells us in chapter 7 what the law was trying to do. It tells us this. Let me read it. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would have not have known what sin was except through the law. This is verse 7 of chapter 7. I would really not known what coveting really was if the law had said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive from the law, apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. Adam and Eve found the same thing. They were told, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And remember, it is the law that we know good and evil by. They were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil by that one commandment. And it was intended to keep them alive, huh? If you eat of it, you will die. Don't eat of it, you'll die. So the law that was intended to bring them life actually brought them death. where it tells us sin sees the opportunity afforded by the commandment, drew them in through their own desires and brought death to them. Well, Satan, by the occasion of the one commandment in the garden, tempted Eve, didn't he? He used the commandment, thou shalt not eat of the tree, as an occasion, right? Sin seizing an opportunity afforded by the commandment. So what was intended to bring them life, don't eat or you'll die, actually brought them death. And this is what it means in chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So the law was powerless to bring us life, in the fact that it was weakened by the sinful nature. It was powerless, but what it was powerless to do, God did. Jesus did bring us life. God did by sending His Son down to be a sin offering, didn't He? He did bring us life through the law. But the law itself was weakened by the sinful nature. Instead of them taking it as a warning, don't eat of this or you'll die, they let Satan use it to entrap them, to focus their desires on that tree. And they charge to follow the desires of the flesh rather than God. So those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. What nature are you walking to, according to now? If there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and you have the Spirit of Christ in you, what nature should you be walking according to? The nature of Christ, the nature of the Spirit, not the nature of the flesh, which is of Adam. That is the soul of Adam. That is the corruption of Adam. That is the old man that we consider, as it said in Romans 6, crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. This body of death must be destroyed. Remember in chapter 7 we just read, where you said, "Oh, wretched man I am, who will release me from this body of death, this body of corruption, and the nature that runs it." The spirit had to be redeemed first. That which is immortal, then that which is mortal is saved, the body. See, when the body dies, the sin nature will die with it. And then the body can be redeemed clean through the resurrection. But first, your spirit has to be released from this body of death, right? And so it tells us, again, for what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature. The law couldn't save you. It can only judge your weak, sinful nature, huh? So what the law was powerless to do, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Remember, the law always provided for a sacrifice, that God would provide a sacrifice for sin, and Jesus was that sacrifice. So God sent His own Son to be in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man. Sin has been condemned in the flesh. The corrupt nature of Adam has been condemned in your body. Now the righteous requirements of the law must be fully met in your body. Listen to what it says. Jesus was to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The righteous requirements of the law required your body to die. And it's still going to die. So how did Jesus release us from death? If Jesus died in a body to release us from death, He didn't die according to the Spirit, because according to the Spirit, He's God. So how did Jesus' body on the cross redeem you from death if your body's still going to die, and if the righteous requirements of the body still have to be, the righteous requirements of the law still have to be fully met in you? That means your body must die. It tells you the truth in Romans 6. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism into death. You're dead with him. In order to live that new life, you have to die with him. So you see the point here. You must die with Christ. Jesus had to die to be resurrected. Jesus has adopted us not only into his resurrection, but also his death. See, he died in your place, but now you've got to die with him in order to live with him. So your death is not unto death. See, before, if you'd have died for yourself, your death would have been unto hell. And let's explain how that happens. We've just seen where the spirit is in bondage to the body and its desires through the soul of Adam, which is that corrupt sin nature, right? Well, let's talk about what that soul is for a second. Now, we've talked about this previous in the foundations, but it's good to refresh you. The soul is the union of body and spirit together. Genesis 2:7. For God created man from the dust of the ground, the body part, the physical, breathed into him the spirit of life, the spiritual, the spirit part, the immortal part, and man became a living soul. So to become a living soul, you have to have these two components. You have to have a physical part and a spiritual part. You have to have a body and a spirit. Now their union is that soul. It's like them two being married. It's two becoming one. Body and spirit becoming a living soul. We see this demonstrated in man and woman. Remember where Paul used that a woman is bound to her husband as long as her husband lives, but when he's dead, she's free to belong to another. And we've seen how the old man was the sin nature, the husband, and the wife was the body, and she was bound to that old nature as long as that old nature lived. But once the old nature's dead, she's free to belong to another. Well, it's the same way with your body. Your sin when your body dies, the sin nature will die with it. Then it can be redeemed to life, to a new husband, Christ. You see that? A man and a woman are bound together in their marriage. That marriage is a covenant. It's the agreement of two to walk together. How can two walk together unless they agree, as the scripture says? Well, so when your body was in sin, guess what? Your spirit was in sin with it because they were in that union of Adam. So that when the body dies, guess what? The spirit has to go with it because it's in union with it. What did Jesus do? By dying in a body, he has freed your spirit from having to go with your body. Because there's a hope for your body. There's a hope now. He has purchased that hope through his death, hasn't he? By dying in a body, you no longer die to death, where body and spirit both go into hell, the body into the grave, and the spirit into the prison of spirits, because they both had to go to death together. Now, the spirit can be redeemed now through faith, because there's a hope that the body will be redeemed. Because when you die with Christ, you die to his eventuality, not Adam's. Adam's eventuality is destruction, but Christ's eventuality is to live again. The new man's eventuality was to live forever. The old man's eventuality, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. You see the difference there? Now you die with Christ in his eventuality. You see, in the old man, they take his life. They would take him out by the law and stone him. And then when the body died, the spirit had to go into hell because you were held in condemnation under the law. But those of you who willingly lay down your life with Christ, see, your life isn't taken from you. You lay it down. Jesus laid down his life. No one took it from him. And so he was judged innocent. And so because Jesus is judged innocent, you can be judged innocent. So death can't hold you. See, before, death had a hold on you. Body and spirit in that corrupt union of Adam. But now we see that first the spirit is released from that corrupt union through the death of Christ. Because in the spirit he submitted to God, and in the body it was that submission was manifested on the cross, wasn't it? Where he laid his life down unto death. He didn't just say, Lord, I'll die for him. He did it. And that's the way your faith has to work, huh? You can't just say, Lord, I'll die with Christ. You have to do it. You have to do it. As you lay down your spirit to serve God and submit to his will, so you must lay your body down unto death. You have to actually do it. Your power isn't on how your power to live. Your life isn't based on your power to live a life like the rest of men who have no hope. You're invested in God. You're depending upon God to raise you, not to try and raise yourself. So you see that? You don't have to die the death of Adam anymore. Where both body and spirit are under that condemnation. Where the body dies under the law's condemnation from the land of the living, and the spirit goes into that hell, which is a waiting place for the greater condemnation, spiritual, forever condemnation, the second death. That's what happens when you die in union with Adam. Because body and spirit are alike in that union of corruption. But to have your spirit freed from that through the death of Jesus, the spirit can only be free because the promise is the body will go free. It will be redeemed from death. So you see, your spirit can be redeemed now through faith, but the real hope has always been the resurrection. The real hope has always been that woman, once her husband's dead, she's free to belong to another. Once the sin nature is dead, then your body can be free to belong to Christ. What you have now is a token of that. Your spirit can be redeemed through faith. But the real hope is centered on your body being redeemed. Because once your body be redeemed, then all of you has been redeemed, spirit and body. Jesus died in a body to redeem your body. That's what gives hope to the whole spirit and body, huh? Not the fact that he just said, I'm going to die, and lay down his spirit in submission to God. But the fact he actually did die and lay down his body to the cross and the hands of sinful men. He laid it down. And you're called to do the same. If you were baptized into his life, then you had to be baptized into his death. You have to choose to lay it down, that the righteous requirements of the law be fully met in you. The law demands your body die. Now you can lay it down in submission to God or have it taken from you. You must lie down in union with Christ, where he laid it down. And because Christ was considered innocent and death couldn't hold him, so those of us who lay it down with Christ are considered in his innocence, and death can't hold us. The resurrection of the dead. You see that? That's how this gospel works. You don't want your body to die in union with Adam, that old corrupt nature. You want your body to die in union with Christ, so the body can be redeemed belonging to Christ after death, free from the sin nature. Because when that body dies, the sin nature will die with it. So first your spirit is redeemed from the body of death through faith, and then your body, each in its turn. Jesus' first coming therefore concerned your spirit being redeemed, reconciled to God, and his second coming, your body. The resurrection is what he brings with him. How many of you can understand that? So as it goes on and tells us, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Just as those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Is your body under the control of the sinful nature? Is your spirit under control of the sinful nature? See, the body should be under the Spirit's control now, even though it's corrupt and going to pass away. Because Jesus, through his death, has released your spirit from having to obey the body in its lust. Do you understand that point? That your spirit was condemned with your body to die. The spirit is eternal. But if your body's condemned to die and your spirit's in union with that body through that corrupt soul of Adam, that agreement that two walk together, right? If your agreement is in sin, then when the body goes, so does its accomplice, the spirit. It has to go where the body goes. They're in union. But by Jesus promising to redeem your body, by purchasing it with his own body, then your spirit can be free, because then your spirit can be free now. Because the promise is your body will be redeemed. If the promise is that dying with Christ, the body gets to go through a resurrection, then the promise is your spirit can be redeemed. Right? But notice how it focuses on the body. It's where the body goes. Because the body is the one who actually dies, cut off from the land of the living. And your spirit is in union with that body. But if Jesus has dibs on your body, you know, if he has dibs on it, through faith in his sacrifice, then your spirit can be free now. Because Jesus has dibs on your body. Because he purchased it with his own body in death. So you didn't get to escape physically dying, did you? But you did escape your spirit going to hell. And your body being left in the grave to corrupt. Because it will be resurrected when Jesus comes back. Because Jesus has dibs on your body, the whole unit gets to go into heaven. First the spirit, as it can be in heaven when you die physically now. And then the body can be redeemed at the resurrection to be joined back to it. Can you see how that focuses on the body? The resurrection of this body. That's how salvation works, and a lot of people don't know that. So first your spirit is redeemed, and then your body, each in its turn. But the spirit is only redeemed through the promise that the body will be. And that's what you got to understand. So it goes on to tell us, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, and here it is, your body is dead because of sin. Yet, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You see how, even though the Spirit's promise is through the promise of the redemption of the body, the Spirit is what's redeemed now. And so if your spirit is redeemed now to be in union with the Spirit of God, then you have an assurance your body will be redeemed, don't you? So you consider the body to be dead. Now when it says if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness, does it mean that body is actually dead? Or dead by faith? It's dead by faith, because you can look in the mirror and see it looking back at you, can't you? You consider it dead. You reckon it so. In order to reckon your spirit alive unto God. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit which lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. See, it's no longer about a transgression of the law, an individual act of sin. Now it's about a nature of sin. See, the transgressions of the law were meant to show you something you couldn't see, a spiritual nature of corruption. You could see it through the things you did that were bad, corrupt acts, which are called transgressions of the law. But you couldn't actually see the nature itself. So the law labeled your actions as corrupt, as transgressions, and added a penalty of death to show you that sin was in you and going to kill you. But the fact is, sin was in you whether you seen it or not, and it was corruption, a corrupt nature, and it was going to kill you whether you seen it or not. Death wasn't a judgment then, it was an eventuality. But through the law, death becomes a judgment. Now you're not under the law. So are you dealing with transgressions, individual sins, or are you dealing with a nature now? You're dealing with the nature. And this is what Romans 8 puts up to you, being free from the law. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, if you do what it desires. And this didn't talk about one act of sin or two acts of sin or transgressions of the law. This is talking about what nature are you sowing to in general. This isn't talking about one or two acts of sin. This is talking about what nature are you walking to in general. Are you walking according to the nature of the spirit in general? Or are you walking according to the nature of the flesh in general? The sinful nature. For if you live, that's what we mean by walking according to it in general. If you live according to it, not have a moment of respite, not have a moment of stumbling, not make a mistake, but if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Those who are in fear of judgment are under the law. You weren't made a slave under the law again to fear judgment. But you receive the spirit of sonship, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You know him as a God of love, not just as a daddy who punishes you. Now we are children. Now if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. You must share in the death of Christ in this body in order to share in his eternal life in that resurrection body. And the spirit you have now redeemed is only the portion of the whole. What you have now is a promise. The full redemption comes with the resurrection of the dead. And this is how your salvation is based. How many of you can see this? Now, I'm going to stop right there. From verse 18 to the end of the chapter, we're going to talk specifically about the resurrection and the purpose of the resurrection and some last days themes that are intimated here in Romans 8. But right now, we needed to conclude this about the nature and how our nature has changed. Amen? Open it up for questions and comments.